two MLU insiders, bringing you hard analysis of everything that happens on the field. This is the John and Greg Show.
How's it going? This is John Phillips here at Randall's Island in Manhattan for the 2015 New York Rumble Open Tryouts. And Greg Fallon's here with me.
And the first edition of the John and Greg Show Combine Tour. And we're stopped here in this beautiful facility with hopefully some exciting new players for the Rumble. And we're officially kicking off the 2015 season, John.
Feels weird to say, even though it's still December.
It's still actually 2014.
But you know, the Rumble, they took the initiative. They set these tryouts up early to, you know, get a roster set soon and to see if that gives them a competitive advantage.
Yeah, let's jump right into that, John. I mean, obviously last season, huge disappointment for this team. So much hype, so many talented players, and just never seemed to come together, aside from one game where they looked really as good as we thought they were going to be. But this is the start of a rebuilding, not a rebuilding campaign, maybe a reloading or a retooling campaign, I would say.
Yeah, I think that anyone from the team that you would talk to would say that it's not so much a rebuilding need. It really is retooling. I think that that's the right word for it.
It was very obvious at times that there was a lot of ability on this team. That they just could never put their finger on the problem. And obviously the injury bug hits and then everything gets thrown into more whack. And I guess all in all, you have to say just a disappointing season.
And I think a big piece of that was the team chemistry aspect. I think it's funny when we think back to why the show really started. Because New York got this load of guys, and we couldn't help but talk about how that was going to shape the East. And what ended up happening is, you know, that chemistry that they needed to have all those talented guys really end up winning even the East. You know, it never really came together in the way that they expected.
Yeah, I'd agree. It just seemed like, you know, guys never got on the same page. And we wound up seeing a lot of lopsided losses and a lot of, you know, just not really what we thought we were going to see.
Yeah, and, you know, there were still flashes. And, you know,
absolutely.
Look at numbers, you know, from the big hitters that you would expect. You know, Chris Mazur still had a, statistically, good season. You can't really complain about it.
A lot of people said he had a down year, and he did, but his number is still excellent, I think. He still wound up about where you expect a player of his caliber to end up.
And then you have, you know, someone like Joe Anderson, who...
who really had a great season. A
fantastic season. You know, and I think that that's one thing that, you know, Coach Anthony Nunez isn't here today, but if we were to ask him, you know, the thing that he's most proud of from last year, Smash would be near the top of that list.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think Dave Vukovic as well was, you know, proved to be as advertised and a big get. And I think you also found some young guys got a lot of playing experience, and you started to kind of build that process of heading for the future towards the end of last year. We saw a lot of guys, you know, Marques Brownlee really had a increased role towards the end of the season, and I thought played a lot better than he did in the early part of the campaign.
He played great, and then, you know, Quinn Hunsicker before he... Went down with, after that big layout, try that ended up leaving him injured. Man, he was so exciting. He might have been the most exciting player in the league.
He might have been defensive player of the year in the East had he continued on that pace. But unfortunately, when you fly that high, sometimes you hit the ground hard as well. And maybe on one of his best Ds of the year was where he got hurt, which is disappointing to see. And actually, I believe his brother is at this tryout. I think he just walked in behind us, which is interesting to see.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. And the ironic thing about it is that, you know, Joe Anderson was, in our eyes, you know, it's hard to find a defender better than him.
Yeah, I agree.
This side of Vancouver. Mm-hmm. But
and we heard last week, Billy Sickles, who's up here with us this weekend, actually stayed at Billy's house last night. Kudos to him for putting us up. But we heard him talk about just how difficult it is to play against a guy like that.
Right, and so for a team that had, you know, such big hitters defensively, I think that that's as big of an example as any that, you know, it's how you get those guys into an overall defensive game plan. How do you limit the other team and then take advantage?
And that's three guys who, correct me if I'm wrong, I think all three of those guys were on the all-defense team.
I believe so.
it was populated a lot with Rumble guys. Marquez, Brownlee, Joe Anderson, and I believe Quinn Hunziker were all on, if not the first, the second team on all defense.
And all deserving.
Absolutely. I think all three of them were on my ballot.
But I think that one of the tricky things is when you get late in the season and you're trying to figure things out offensively, what ends up happening is, you know, you're pulling people from your D-line that you want to be there to get breaks. And you're forced to have them playing O, you're forced to be trying to
fit
these
puzzle pieces
together.
All over the place. We saw similar problems with the Philadelphia Spinners in year one, which they corrected a little bit last year and had a much stronger campaign, I would say. It's tough when your offense struggles because that defense, your defense can't get on the field. If your defense is so good, which we saw, you know, the Rumble defense was one of the better units in the East, I'd say, defensively. But their offense really couldn't convert. They get scored on. And it's tough. It's a tough situation to be in where it's particularly in Ultimate because you have to score to put your defense on the field as opposed to something like football where, you know, your defense can keep you in the game by virtue of not giving up points. The offense struggling doesn't keep the defense off the field, in a sense.
And I think that a big movement that the Rumble tried to make last year was to try and stay away from having an offense centered around Mazur.
Yeah.
When, you know, when things...
The audio from this podcast is very New York, isn't it?
It is.
We apologize for the... there's a dull hum of the highway in the background, and we've got buses. I mean, it's a New York flavor show.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, you just got to embrace it, right?
You know, that's one of the things I love about New York triads, right? As we wait for this bus to pass.
And now it has.
That's one of the things I love about these New York triads. You know, we talked about this earlier, and I talked about this with some other people last night. Each city that we go to seems to have a different flavor for their triads, right? New York's tryouts are almost always outside. They love to put guys through the ringer in this tough weather. We've been to I've been to three New York tryouts over the last couple of years. The first one was snowing.
Right. Like,
and that's some of the coolest footage I've ever captured, actually. Slow-mo, snow, got going past guys' faces. It was awesome. We were at one last weekend. It was raining. We didn't get to come up because of the rain. But,
right.
I mean, you see the photos of that. It's like... the filter. There's a rain filter on. Freezing cold most of the time for these tryouts. Remember last year over at the other field here at Randall's Island where we interviewed everyone, did our piece under the overpass, the wind. It was like practicing in a wind tunnel.
It was.
So these guys really like to put their guys through the ringer in that sense. And then, you know, D.C. has their tradition of 5 a.m. tryouts. Because, you know, if you're willing to get up at 5 a.m. for a tryout, you're probably pretty serious about it.
Right.
I like the way that they do things down there. I'm interested to see if they do that again this year. They haven't announced their tryout schedule, but that'll certainly be interesting for us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be a big factor.
When we make that stop. Maybe we'll go to the nighttime one instead.
Right.
And Phillies are also just very structured. They're a very kind of a... NFL combine type of structure where it's, you know, a bunch of guys in a turf complex where they're just going through drills through drills through drills. It's like a kind of a station situation, which
right.
Is always an interesting tryout to go to, and Billy Maroon runs them really fun. He's always very high energy about it, but it does present the outdoor New York tryout does present some technical challenges for us.
Yeah, but we
but
fight
interesting
through.
Yeah, bear with the sound.
There can only be so many buses going.
Yeah, well, that's what we said. We tried to. Funny story about this: we tried to start this right after the bus left to maximize bus time, and then three more buses came by while we started the show. But it's fun. It's all, you know, part of the atmosphere here. Guys are just starting warm ups. Why don't we tell people what we got coming up for this show?
Yeah, so we're gonna be happy to have Joe Anderson come on with us.
Yeah.
And chat, you know, about, you know, how amazing he is at Frisbee. But, you know, a little New York talk, too. It's going to be great to have him for a longer length of time than I've ever interviewed him
before. We've done these interviews via Skype and phone, and this will be our first in-person podcast interview.
Oh, that's
with
true.
A player,
I didn't even
with
realize
a player.
That.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
We've done it with people around, you know, we've done it with Luke Ryan, obviously, Billy Sickles last week,
yeah.
Tim Brubaker, but we've never done it with you know, a player, a top line, you know, one of the guys we bring on via Skype during the season. I'm excited for that. Excited to talk to Michelle Kondracki later.
Yeah.
And if we can find Jake Klingel, I've heard he's supposed to be here. I want him on this show so desperately in this format. Stay tuned. If you go to the playlist and see interview with Jake Herman, you can probably just skip the next couple of segments. And,
yeah.
And that's all you really need to listen to for today.
Yeah, but we'll be sure to get a third guy, even if it isn't Jake.
Unfortunately, no Anthony Nunez today. He's otherwise committed today.
Yeah, and then a few of the Rumble guys that were given the, you know, in past years, some of the big hitters, they were given the option of coming up last week.
Yeah,
or today.
The veterans have kind of split their tryouts. So we have, obviously, we have Joe Smash here. We are supposed to have Jake Herman. We've seen Marquez Brownlee is here.
Robbie
Gillies is here. Ignacio Eze, one of my favorite names.
Yeah.
Those guys are all here. So I'm excited to see what they can do when we're done with the show.
Yeah.
So if you're not, just so you people out there know, you people, that sounds almost rude. Just so you guys out there know, we're going to be doing the show for about the first hour of the tryout, roughly. Then we're going to hop off and do our regular style news piece and get some highlight shooting in there. So that'll be produced also with this show.
Yeah, so go check that out too, because that one will be more centered towards the newer players, the new guys, what the tryout experience is like.
Yeah, that's going to be covering this tryout. What we're doing right now is kind of just talking Rumble at the Rumble tryout, which I think is a pretty cool thing. We've got all these players here just ready for us to talk to them. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So with that,
we're going to come up with our interview of Joe Anderson. We're here with Joe Smash Anderson, number 21 of New York Rumble. Joe, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good
man.
To see you.
Absolutely.
So we're talking a little Rumble earlier on the show, and obviously last year, big disappointment for you guys. All the hype, all the expectations, and then really just kind of almost a disaster season in a lot of senses.
Just call it what it is.
Yeah. What are you guys looking for this year to turn that around and get back to playing at the level that you guys were accustomed to?
I think it all starts with just an overall sense of camaraderie. Like we just all need to really just be on the same page again and really just take last season as a humbling moment and just come back. You know, I think that New York is very talented, and I just think we need to do better with teamwork, honestly.
So we knew that talent, you know, pretty early on. We could see it on the roster. But, you know, in a season that, you know, again, it was a disappointment for everyone involved. You know, for us, I think that, and we said that, you know, Coach Anthony Nunez would say this too, but that your defensive play was really one of the bright spots of the season, and how strong you brought it from game one to the last game of the season. So how about for you, in your mind, what are you most proud of as an individual player from last year? And then also, like, what's the silver lining from last season for you?
For me individually, I guess the best part for me was being able to go after the best players. You know, like, I felt very strong against almost everybody. I mean, I had to guard Muffin four times. You know, I had to guard Petey Proud. You know, he's like LeBron. Like, you know, so these guys are not easy to defend. So just to get that kind of respect and to hold these people to less than superstar numbers is a real big achievement to me. The second big achievement is really our young players. I mean, I was on first team all defense, but, you know, Quinn and Marquez, you know, 20 years old or, like, you know, going on 7 years old is also on the first all defense team. So it's like I took a lot of pride in that because that's my defense. I took a lot of pride in when my young players develop. And, you know, those are upcoming superstars. So I'm really proud of them.
Yeah, we just talked about, you know, the whole defense as a whole, I think, is the bright spot that you can take, especially the young guys stepping up. And I know your focus is primarily defense, but What do you think the team is focused on offensively to help you guys be more effective and be on the field more often?
I think it starts with the sort of handler play. Like, you know, I think it was something the statistics said that our handlers account for something like 45% of like all of our scores or anything like that. I think that we need to figure out the scheme, whether we're gonna continue to be more handler oriented and then those turnovers need to drop, or we need to be more cutter oriented and we need to spread the ball out a little more.
Do you think that there was, you know, a difficulty offensively last year just with the wealth of talent that you guys had in figuring out how those pieces best went together?
No, I actually think, you know, I was really surprised because, you know, I think that every offense needs, you know, a couple of things. You need the starting point guard. You need the reliable off handler. I think you need I guess what we would call like the red one cutter, which is like the first guy out of, you know, whatever scheme. You know, we need the guy who's gonna get the ball on the in cut, and you need a deep threat. And we had multiple people for all those positions, people who were very talented. Honestly, again, it goes back to my original point about the teamwork and just being able to be about the same page just across the board.
Consistency seemed to be an issue for you guys last year in terms of, you know, it seemed like some weeks you guys are throwing out a completely different roster than other weeks. I think, what was it, the Boston game where you guys lost really badly was maybe
that was,
18 guys.
That was a tough week. You know, I take responsibility. I wasn't there that day either. So as a captain, you know, that falls on me because attendance is part, you know, you can't contribute if you're not there. So,
right.
You know, that's personal responsibility. And we say that from day one. You know, you got to be there. You got to be there at practice. You got to be there at the games on time. And you got to be prepared to do it for the name of the front, not the name of the back. So again, it's the consistency, it's a mindset, it's a focus, and sometimes it's something that you can't teach. You know, you can give all the pregame huddles and speeches and long emails that you want. It's about heart at the end of the day, so it's whether you want to bring it or not.
So I know that near the end of the year, we had a chat with Anthony Nunez about, you know, defensively with trapping, how he felt that you guys had figured it out near the end of the season. And I feel like I'm sure you're a big part of that. Could you walk through what kind of clicked for you guys on D?
For me, when it comes to trapping, I guess my particular trapping scheme, I figured out when I was playing with the Constitution. So the trapping scheme is usually like backside traps. You shouldn't be able to see it coming. So it's very opportunistic. It's a thing. Again, well, we say you have to just follow your heart on defense. There are lots of times where on film, you know, I got lucky because I've taken chances that I didn't get burned on. But you have to take chances because on defense it's about creating opportunities. Sometimes with some of these offenses out here, sometimes you don't get any opportunities. So you have to be able to really put yourself out there. And with the blindside traps, we were able to frustrate a lot of people, especially towards the end. You know, me and Lucas, you know, I've been playing with that guy for forever. I think one of our favorite games was playing against Kolek, you know, the Mr. MVP. We're talking smack to him the entire game. And we got a couple of turnovers out of it, or one of them that should have been a turnover because Wodatch is bigger than everybody. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, I'm always on my Rex Ryan. I'm always trying to get some new schemes defensively. And, you know, trapping is just one of those things that I really love about the professional game.
Who in your mind is the most difficult cover in the league?
Oh, it's Petey Proud. It's not even close. It really is. It'll be Petey Proud, and then it'll be Kolek. Kolek is tough just because it's really tough to cover resets.
Right.
The hardest
especially
person.
His, especially
yeah,
his.
Like so that's tough. When you're downfield, it has to be Petey Proud. The hardest person to mark to actually mark, like on the mark, it's probably Muffin. Like, you know, it's really scary because you have to really be true to your scheme and you have to be very disciplined, because the moment you think you're going to overcommit, he's very smart. He'll step around or he's gonna let it fly on you. So those are the people, those three people come to mind. I have to be extremely, extremely disciplined. You know, I watch a lot of film, way more than most people. Those are the three hardest people easily to guard.
Malachek's, the development in his game from when I first started watching him a few years ago, just such a totally complete player now. Just amazing what he's been able to do. And he is really, you know, he's got all the throws and he's reined himself in, which is the impressive thing to me.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have always, you know, he's always gotten a lot of flack for, you know, sort of just being confident, and, you know, I appreciate that. I think more people just need to say that they're the best. And, you know, he challenges a lot of defenders, and, you know, I've seen him torch a lot of really good defenders. And I think he's pretty good.
He's a fun guy to watch.
Yeah.
How about on your team?
On my team, who's the hardest person to defend? I don't know. I talk a lot of smack to these guys, so it's just like I tell them every single day. I'm like, I'll have all y'all in lock. If I'm looking, I would actually probably have to say either Jack Marsh or T Lake. David Vukovic.
He was very impressive last year.
Yeah,
he's
definitely one of the more underrated players in New York. I don't know. Y'all need to get on y'all podcast about that man. But he's pretty tough because he makes really smart cuts, but he's also in really great shape and he keeps running. And afterwards, if there is a turn, he's a very, very capable. He probably could be first team all defense if he wanted to. He was a defender when he first came to New York City, and I was captain of Pony. He was my number one defender on the team. So that makes it very difficult when somebody's going to be physical with you on the offensive end, because usually offensive guys are pretty prissy and they don't want to touch you at all. But he's not one of those guys. So I think just overall,
he's
like
a real New York City style player.
He could say that. I don't know. New York is a little different now than it was when I was coming up in the game. But yeah, you know, he's pretty tough. He's a tough guy to play.
So I think that you have, you know, you talked about T-Lake being underrated.
Yes.
I think that you last year with your play, everybody finally started to really like appreciate just how strong of a defender you are. You know, how does that make you feel to be finally getting those accolades, you know, on you know, coming at you from every angle, from, you know, your opponents, from us guys talking about you on podcasts? How does that make you feel to be so well respected in this game right now?
It feels great, but honestly, it's long overdue because I've been strong for a while, and it's just nice that, you know, people can appreciate that stuff. It's really interesting. Like, you know, when I go to other tournaments and I'm talking to some of these other top players, you know, they show me that love and they're like, wow, like, you know, like, I really see you. You're really doing your thing, and you know, it's nice because you know, defense just doesn't get that love, you know. Like, right. There are times where I'm at home and I'm just like, you know, damn, like, if I was on offense, you know, maybe it'd be a little different. Yeah. But it's not the same. You know, I have to be true to myself. I'm a defender, and, you know, it is nice. You know, I have to admit, it really is nice. It is long overdue.
We'll leave you with one last question before that you get back to practice. That guy is really screaming.
Guys are going hard out here with the regular football.
Give us a name of a guy that we might not know about that we need to keep an eye on today.
Today?
Or in general, as the tryout process goes on.
I mean, another person who people should really, really be looking out for is Ignacio Eze. I mean, he's another guy. We both went to high school together. Right. I've been playing with him since I was 14 years old. He has not gotten the love that he absolutely deserves. I mean, I think that I don't know whether it's you or some guys where they were like, oh, like, if he played just as many points as, like, you know, our other starters did, he might have been, like, top 10 in the league in something in points. The guy is torching people. So if you're ever wanting to see somebody who's going to be fun, it's going to be that guy, because, I mean, he'll sky most people.
Literally threw a disc out of the stadium last year.
That was easily one of the most hilarious things I've ever seen in my life.
That was the best band that was given out all year last year. Yeah, I think the refs were laughing about it too. Like,
it's hard not to. It's hard not to.
One
they need to give out more technical fouls too. They slapped on that. The first year there was a lot, and then there was not as many. So I guess I'm gonna have to talk more smack to the refs.
All right. Well, go have some fun, Joe. Thanks for coming on the show.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Peace out, y'all.
Have a great tryout. Great season.
And now we welcome New York Rumble GM Michelle Kondracki to the show. Thanks for joining the John and Greg show this morning.
No problem.
And thanks for having us out at this wonderful tryout at a reasonable hour.
It's the warmest it's ever been. So.
Yeah. And we're still bundled up, right? Let's talk about that for a second, because we talked earlier about how each city kind of has a different flavor for their tryouts. And you guys always like to put guys through the ringer in the toughest conditions possible. Snow, outdoor in the winter, rain, that wind tunnel we were in last year. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, for one, I think it weeds out a lot of the people who would just show up to see if they can just hang with the guys. It really brings out who wants to really be here. And, you know, on the other end, logistically, there isn't really much of a choice. There are almost no indoor fields in the New York area that are accessible by public transportation. There's actually a really cool one in Connecticut. It's 100 yards, a full football field.
It
costs about $1,000 an hour. So between those two things, I think we're going to have outdoor tryouts for a while. But we had them earlier this year. February is the coldest month of the year, so at least we avoided that.
Yeah, that's I remember those.
So how about, you know, the decision to have them earlier? You know, is that just a logistics weather thing, or is that also to start building that team chemistry earlier?
It actually had almost nothing to do with the weather. It was mainly team chemistry.
Yeah.
You probably saw last year the chemistry just wasn't there in the beginning. I think for our first game, a lot of people didn't really even know each other on the field yet, which takes a little bit of time to find. So that's why we decided to have them earlier, get some practices in earlier.
Yeah, we talked with Joe Anderson just a few minutes ago about, you know, last year was really a disappointing disaster season on the field for you guys. So much hype, so many big name players coming in, and just not really any results on the field, aside from probably, we would agree, one game, you guys looked like the team we were supposed to be. What is the plan this year to retool, reload, rebuild, or just to get you guys back to winning ways?
Right. So the first thing, obviously, having earlier tryouts, building chemistry earlier. Also, seeing who fits into the team, not just who's the most talented out there, but who plays well together, who works well together on the field, even just personalities meshing together. Those are all different things that we're looking for.
Does part of that come from looking down in D.C., where most of those guys have played together in other areas, and that cohesion kind of leading them to a championship? Is that, you know, try something that you're trying to bounce off of?
I don't think we never necessarily looked at D.C., but just looked at it in the aspect of none of these guys know each other, and never played with each other. That's something we need to fix.
And you guys have a unique challenge up here in New York with, a lot of guys up here are not really car people, which is something we talked about.
That's something I've just gotten used to recently.
Getting guys together is a difficult thing.
Yes.
So is that more also a motivation for earlier tryouts to have more opportunities to get these guys on the same field with each other?
Yep, definitely. I can tell you that I took a ferry, a taxi, I walked, took a bus, and a subway just to get here today. We don't have any cars, and it definitely helps to start things earlier to get more reps in.
Miraculously, I took less modes of transportation.
To get here from Philly.
To get there from Philadelphia.
We talked earlier to Joe also about how... What was I going to say? What did we talk to him about?
I don't know. I'm not in your head. We talked to Joe about a lot of things. If you can't get what I want. Yeah. So we asked Smash about what his silver lining from last season was, and like what, you know, how that gave him motivation to come into the 2015 season. For you, what was your silver lining?
Silver lining. Maybe all we can do is go up, right?
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
We talked about Smash and how, you know, people have finally started, you know, taking notice of how good he is defensively. What does it mean to have a character guy like that on the squad?
Smash has definitely been instrumental to the team both years. I think the first year, the reason why people didn't notice him is because he just shuts down his guys. He wasn't the flashy player that would lay out bid constantly for, you know, half, maybe to get it half the time. He was just that guy. His guy would never get the disc. He's also a great leader, so we've loved having him on the team, and hopefully he'll be coming back this year.
I remember my question. We talked especially about how there was seemed to be a commitment and consistency issue last year with, you know, you guys seem to throw out a different roster every game, and sometimes even just 15 guys or something like that. Is there an increased focus on attendance and commitment and, you know, guys being all in or all out this year?
Definitely. One thing we're actually doing at a tryout to be in the future is we're interviewing players. So making sure the commitment level is there, because sometimes people want to be committed, but, you know, if they have a baby or they're just, they have a ton of weddings, they just can't be. And then on top of that, it will help to, I lost my train of thought there.
to have guys on the same page.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd rather have a team of guys who are all there rather than a team of, you know, maybe better players that are not always going to be at the game or, you know, can make every practice or something like that.
Another issue we had with commitment was just injuries. So we're working on that a little bit this year. We did like a little nutrition seminar for the players. We're going to see if we can get some strength workouts, just making sure that they're the healthiest they can possibly be going into the season.
Because it is a challenge, right? Like being able to get yourself into shape for tryouts in the dead of winter is really tough. But even by the start of the season, it's hard to get that energy going.
Yep.
It sounds like from talking to you and Joe, it sounds like you guys are talking about a culture shift, really.
We are.
A new New York Rumble team this year. I'm excited to see
you guys will see more of that in the future.
Yeah.
I don't want to give anything away, but.
Let's move into a subject that maybe you're a little bit more directly involved with, which is the game day experience for fans.
Okay.
What can we expect this year new from you guys to make it more fun for the fans to come out?
I think we'll definitely have more opportunities and options out there for them. Our location made it a little bit more difficult last year. We haven't settled on anything yet this year, but whatever we do settle on, it'll be easier to get to. There'll be, hopefully, we can have, you know, tailgating, things like that, just to make the fan experience a Rumble game. It's not just an Ultimate Frisbee game. You know, it's more of the experience that you're going for as well.
Awesome.
I love to hear that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I know that down in, you know, Philadelphia's tried like a few places, and I think that, you know, St. Joe's as a area allowed
fan experience
for
there.
You know, just that camaraderie before the game.
Food, I think drink, and tailgating.
So
obviously New York's a bit of a different animal because the city is so
no cars.
The city is so tight.
I'm always flabbergasted just like walking around New York. Man, how do people like do that every day? I'm so tired. I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah,
and I just
definitely.
Like that's from getting up and coming here. That's
right.
All.
Yeah,
people are generally pretty fit in New York, and that's probably part of the reason. I mean, I think I walk like a mile to work even after I get off the subway. So
that's impressive. Yeah.
Maybe one day we can build a stadium like in Times Square or something.
That would be awesome. That'd be a lot of fun.
Or just play in Times Square.
Yeah,
just clear out the streets.
Yes.
So I guess last question, any surprises or hints or little things you want to drop with us before we let you go?
I'm going to leave you guys just leave us hanging.
All right.
Yep. You'll find out
no
more
hints,
in February.
No surprise. All right. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks for coming on the show. It's a good interview. Good interview with Michelle.
Yeah, it was good talking to her and talking to Smash. It was.
Yeah. I think we've had a productive day.
Oh, I'd say for sure. Yeah, and big takeaways, I think, you know, you can hear it in both of their voices that last year, everyone knows, was unacceptable. It wasn't what they wanted. And they're clearly taking the steps necessary to make those changes happen.
I love buses, John.
I love buses, too.
I love buses. But yeah, I agree. It seems to be very clear, and I think we would have said, you know, this would be our recommendation, a culture shift of some sort. They're saying all the right things, but again, it's, you know, not even January. We're in December. Season doesn't start for a while. You know, you could say it now, but you got to do it. That's the other thing. And I believe that they've realized that it's needed,
right?
And that we're going to see a different flavor New York Rumble team, whether the roster turnover is what it was last year or, yeah. I don't know what to expect in terms of who's going to be on this team. I'd certainly like to see some young faces, because I think that's part of the culture shift.
Yeah.
Where they land on the roster is completely up in the air. We don't know anything yet. But it's sure to be, regardless of who's on the team, I think a different flavor New York Rumble team. And I think we can take that just from Joe Smash's, Joe Anderson's words, and what he said.
Yeah, it's just this idea that, you know, a team is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
That whole bit.
Agreed. And
that one, it makes sense. There's a reason why that is a cliche. It's because it's very much true.
Yeah. And with what everyone has said about the culture shift and about the new way that they're going to be looking at players, it'll be interesting to see and telling to see who... Is that a plane?
It's a helicopter.
There have been a few helicopters today. They just all.
This is so New York, isn't it?
It really is.
But I think it'll be very telling of certain players, you know, who makes this roster, and then we'll see, you know, what they do in terms of wins and losses, and if they're able to combat what we think is a rising Philadelphia team, maybe a falling Boston team, and a dominant right now DC team, you know, that is brimming with confidence.
Yeah. And there's a lot of time until we'll get to see it on the field, which I think for the Rumble is a good thing. It gives them the time to build that culture.
Yeah, I like this idea of starting early and, you know, having your team picked so early in the process that, you know, you have all this time to practice together, because that was a very serious problem last year, was a lack of chemistry and a lack of consistency.
For sure.
Just really a mess on the field. Complete mess. And whatever they can do to clean that up is going to be interesting at the least. Even if it doesn't work, even if they still have a disappointing year, you know, we're going to see what they've tried to do. And then, you know, it's still a very young league, so we're not even sure what exactly is the fix. You know,
right.
There's no history to go back and see, well, this is how you do this. You can't go do the draft. There is no draft yet, so tanking isn't really helpful.
Right.
It's really everybody's in a win-now situation every year. So, I'm excited for this team to rebuild. It's yet to be seen what exactly the strategy is going to be.
Yeah, for sure. And as a bus passes by us one last time during this podcast, we're going to sign off. We're going to go knock out the news piece that we're going to do on some of the young talent here. And you'll be able to see that.
Hopefully that's our last bus that passes.
Yeah, really.
So you know, we've also learned a lot about doing podcasts outside, John.
Oh, yeah.
And how difficult that can be.
This has been a great learning experience in that regard.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the indoor tryouts. It'll be a little bit warmer. Although the weather today has been pretty good in terms of what I expected.
Yeah.
I actually took a layer off before we started the show. I bundled up even more. We got to figure out where we're going next. I'm sure we'll announce that in the next couple of weeks. Probably Philly.
Yeah. I don't think anything's going to happen
in D.C.
Yeah, with all the holidays and stuff.
Yep. Agreed.
D.C. is, if you're in the D.C. area, they are having their
signing party
ring
Thursday.
Ceremony.
We'll be going
this
down.
Thursday.
I'll be going down. I don't know about you.
That's my birthday, so I'm going to lay on the couch and not go to D.C.
Have you seen the rings? I saw the rings.
I haven't seen the rings.
Oh, man. They're pretty. I saw at the investor meeting last weekend.
That's awesome.
Mark Evangelisto and Dan Vogel had their rings for DC, and wow. Oh, boy.
It's great to see.
They are really... They got the names on the side. There's a little Frisbee guy jumping up and catching a disc. And then the top is just all that, you know, DC logo, like, right up there. It's gonna be a fun party, and they have not said who they're signing at this party yet.
Oh,
so I'm excited to see that too.
Right, get a little news going.
Yeah, get a little news. Well, that's it from our first stop of the John and Greg Show 2015 Combine Tour. Let us know what you thought of the show. Let us know what you want us to do in the future. If you have any questions for Philly, which is almost certainly our next stop, please feel free to send them along to us at John and Greg MLU. John.
Yeah.
Take us out.
Yeah, so for Randall's Island, buses.
Oh, quick
Dave
shout
Pennypacker.
Out to Dave Pennypacker, who came up and produced for us today. Big ups to him. You may remember his Pennypacker picks of the week. We tried to work one into the show today, but there's nothing to pick because there's no games for 4 months. why don't you go ahead, Dave, now, and pick New York's first game, win or loss?
I think they're going to come out strong and win.
He's making the same mistake I did last year.
Without knowing who the opponent is.
So the Pennypacker pick of the week is that New York starts 1-0.
Okay, that's a pick.
If you're right, Dave.
I get a segment.
Dave will get a... If Dave is right, if the New York Rumble win their first game, yeah. Dave gets a segment.
Dave can get a segment, yeah.
I don't know if it's a recurring segment. We have to see how you do, but we'll interview you at the very least. From Randall's Island.
Yeah, for the M35 bus, which goes from Harlem to Ward's Island. I'm John Phillips.
I'm Greg Fallon. Thanks for listening.